Today being Mother's Day, Ron already has acknowledged that. So to all you moms out there and to all you who will be moms someday, this study is for you. I have a great wife. I have a great mother-in-law, and my own mother who has passed was a great example of, I believe, what is written, we believe, by Solomon in Proverbs 31 about the virtuous woman. If you haven't read that, you may want to take a look at that today. But it's a pretty amazing description of a woman who fears God. And it doesn't matter what she looks like on the outside. It's what comes out from the inside that really defines who she is. And so the purpose of this study is to discover what kind of an example we need to be as believers, as witnesses, and specifically those who are in a role of teaching others, specifically mothers, who are, in my mind, great leaders, great coaches, great mentors, and certainly the women in my life have been so. Today's date is the 12th of May. This is Forrest Cottrell, and again, the topic is examples. So let's start off with 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So this is Paul talking to Timothy, telling Timothy that he should be like this. But these are the same examples of the things that the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 lists. The Greek word for example is tupos, and it has to do with modeling or resembling, imitation, example, obviously, a figure, a manner, or a pattern. And that word pattern comes up often, a pattern that we should follow. In fact, in Exodus 25:9, it says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make. So this is God's directions to Moses, and the Hebrew word here is tabneth. It has to do with a structure, but it has to do with a model or a resemblance, a likeness, a form, a pattern, or a similitude. And so we see that God gave Moses what this pattern should look like for the tabernacle that they built in the wilderness. Think of it as an architectural plan, if you will. And I think if we are to develop the next generation of young women, but also men and women, to become members of the body of Christ, we are the architects. And my wife was the architect of three young men. And we raised them up in Christian education all their lives, including college. And so they saw what the pattern was that they were supposed to follow. Let's go to John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. It says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The Greek word here, for example, is hupodiegma, and it has to do with imitation and exhibit or exhibiting. a pattern, and as we said, an example. And so the Lord is basically telling the disciples, look, you need to be a servant, not a master. As disciples of him who is the master, he demonstrated what it's like to have a servant's heart. We call that servant leadership. In Matthew 1:19, and Chico, thank you for posting. Matthew 1:19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. So this would have been a bad example, if you will, that had he publicly pointed out that his espoused wife, Mary, was pregnant, and they weren't married yet, and she had known no man, instead of publicly embarrassing her by making her a public example, he decided to just go quietly. This is part of the same word, but it's paradiegmatizo, and it has to do with a public example. And sometimes it has to do with exposing, which is what this would be. And sometimes we have examples of that. Just look at the politics of the day. We constantly have individuals who are being exposed to open shame for what they've done in the past. Good reason why I will never run for public office. I'm not sure why Tony's doing that, because somebody's going to throw dirt even if he's never done anything wrong. It's just the way things are. It's unfortunate. Joseph took the high road. And did so because he loved Mary. And he knew that she had done no wrong. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3:9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. That's kind of the English King James word for example. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. The Greek word here again is tupos. It has to do with a pattern, as we said before, a form. It's something that I think as a parent, whether you are the mom or the dad, helping our children understand the importance of a work ethic. What better way than to model the way? What better way than to show them a living example of that every day? My three sons will tell you that the bane of their existence was here in Arizona to have to go out and pull weeds in 110 degree heat. But it was trying to demonstrate to them that they're not above it. They can do the work. They're close to the ground. It's easier for them than me. So be an example. Be that person that shows our kids the right things, whether that be etiquette or work ethic. Show them the way. Hebrews 4, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So here's a bad example. And what we can be is a good example. I just mentioned of work ethic. But we can be a bad example as well. I mean, how many people, generation after generation, are on welfare? Because it's easy. Because that's what their parents showed them. No work ethic. Just take money away. Let other people pay your way. That's a bad example. Well, so is unbelief. Because unbelief leads to death, and it's a permanent death. And that's all that's there for them. So do the opposite. Teach them what a believer, and exhibit to them. That's what the Greek word here, it's hupodiegma, and it has to do with not only a pattern or an example, but actually an imitation that other people want to follow. Continue in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. So we just read about that from Exodus, right? And here it is, I believe Paul, the author of Hebrews, though his name's not on it, I believe that he did read it, he is telling of the story of what Moses did, and God gave him an example, a pattern to follow. And it's the same Greek word that we just read about. In James chapter 5, verse 10, it says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. That word patience is long-suffering. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Word example here is hupodiegma, and we talk about the patience of Job. We know that that word patience is the word long-suffering. Job was an example of long-suffering, and he endured, and he never lost his faith. Talk about an example of us today. And it tells us, look, we're going to suffer affliction. I mean, if you think that you're not and you're a believer, and there's others out there that, well, they're not suffering, how come I have to suffer? Well, because God's got plans for you. Because God's got to see if you will endure the test so that when the real game starts, you're ready. So he's exercising us and helping us. The suffer affliction is a type of exercise like an athlete goes through. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, even up hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. It's his stripes, right? He's the one that took the suffering and the beating upon himself. And when reviled, he didn't answer. He did not respond in a negative way. He only acknowledged what they were accusing him of, which was that he believed that he was the Christ. But we are to follow his steps because he's a good example. He suffered. And again, if we think that we're going to get through this life without suffering, we're comparing ourselves to the wrong people. And comparison is a disease. It is something that causes nothing but bitterness and anger in some cases, and envy and jealousy. And how many other negative attributes can you put to comparison? Unless you're comparing yourself to a good example. And that's the point of this study. The Greek word example here is hupogrammos, and it means to copy or imitate. And the question is, who are we imitating? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. 2 Peter 2, 6. And turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord know how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So here we have bad examples again. And it's, I think it's awesome that as Peter writes, the Holy Spirit is contrasting good versus evil. We've got Sodom and Gomorrah, evil. We've got just Lot, who's living amongst them. And so we have this contrast. And while he was a good example, no one followed his example. And sometimes that's to our demise, that we are amongst individuals that are bad examples, and yet we stay within there. You're not going to change some people. It's why Christ, when he sent the disciples out, said, look, if they reject you, don't worry about it. They're rejecting me, not you. And just shake the dust off your sandals and go your way. And we need to do the same thing. When we see people practicing bad, evil works, we need to separate ourselves from them, not be part of them. In Jude 1:7, it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah as well. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So fire and brimstone came down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's an example to others who are doing wickedly. And I'm not saying that we're going to see fire and brimstone in our lifetime. My hope is that we would appear with the Lord before that. But there will be fire. 1 John 2:4-6. I'm sorry, 5-6. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. To abide in him, to walk as he walked. Colossians 1:10, to walk worthy. And that walk is an example of how Christ walked. Philippians 3:17 says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to walk, as I've said, with Christ, as if we are arm in arm, hand in hand with him, and not with the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, who are those? Are those unbelievers? No, those are believers that have chosen to walk unworthy. And if you ever want to do a great story, do some great research, take a look at this phrase, the enemy of the cross of Christ. And if you want a copy of that study, just email Kathleen. She did a great job on that. Philippians 2, verse 2 through 8. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's not talking about comparison. That's talking about helping others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The word form of a servant, form of God, is the word morph. and it has to do with shaping, and it is of the same nature, if you will, the same form, and we are to be of one mind, one accord. And what does that look like? Well, it looks like lowliness of mind. It looks like being humble to the point that Christ humbled himself even unto death. Not suggesting that we go out and jump on a cross and be crucified in order to be like Christ. I'm suggesting that we humble ourselves before him. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. This word follower is mementos, which is where we get the word mime, which is an imitator. And here it says, be therefore followers. Well, in this case, it's actually be therefore an imitator of God as dear children. Again, thank you for posting this and keeping up, Chico. It's awesome. You're going to have to teach me how to do this. 1 Timothy 1, we're going to start in verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word pattern here we've seen previously, it's hupotopos, and it has to do with imitation, a form, a pattern. The word hupo is to stay under or beneath, and it has to do with that humility again. It means taking on an inferior position or condition, and staying under hupomino, we have seen before in other studies, and it again has to do with Christ's example to us was one of humility, one of a servant, and that's what we should imitate. Titus 2:7. I know I started this by saying this is about women, mothers specifically, being examples to us. But in Titus 2:7 it says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, verse 6, in all things show thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. This pattern of good works, look at the list, uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. These are the things that we should be showing others and demonstrating to others as a pattern that they want to follow, not a pattern that they have to follow, a pattern that they are self-motivated internally in their heart and their mind and their spirit that says, I want to be like that. Not because they're going to get fame, glory, money, material things. In fact, they're probably going to suffer, as we have, as many of us have. This word tupos again is a resemblance, a shape, a form, a manner, a pattern. It actually says a statue, So a statue is a pattern of something. It's a form of something. I believe when, I'm trying to remember the artist, if it was Da Vinci or Michelangelo that created the statue of David. And when asked, how did you do such a magnificent statue, a form, a pattern of David? He said, well, I had this big slab of marble. I started to chisel away and David jumped out. So he was humble, but the statue was a pattern of David. Colossians 3:13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In other words, imitate him. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. He is the pattern that we want to follow. Two more references. 2 Timothy 1:11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Paul is admonishing Timothy to be a teacher, a preacher, as he was. He's going to suffer, but he's not ashamed. He's going to believe. He's going to be committed. He's going to hold fast to the sound words, because that's the pattern he wants him to follow. Don't go off and do your own thing. Follow that which has been given you through the Holy Ghost. And lastly, Ephesians 3:7-13. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less of the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So Paul was saying, I'm an example of Christ. That's the example we should be following. Even though we may be the least of all saints, we are witnessing through our walk, through our lives, the imitation of Christ, the pattern, the form, the example that Christ gave. Paul was an example to Timothy. Timothy was to be an example to all of us. And we all are examples to principalities and powers, mights and dominions, in heavenly places. What an amazing opportunity for us. What an amazing responsibility. And no wonder people falter. Because if you know going into this that you're going to suffer, that you're going to have tribulation, that you're going to have trials, that you're going to be exercised, Who wants to do that? Well, as an athlete, as a coach, that's exactly what we did to the young people that we coached, is we exercised them to be good examples on the field, on the court, wherever they were competing, and that through that, they may win, that they would be victorious in Christ. And so on this Mother's Day, for those of you who are mothers, who have mothers, we all do, please point out the great examples that they have been. As I started this, I mentioned that my mother-in-law, Jean, my mother, may she rest in peace, Betty, my wife, they are all great, great witnesses, great examples of what a godly woman should be like. And I just want to reiterate from Proverbs 31, it says, "She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised." And so with that, happy Mother's Day. Celebrate your mom, celebrate your wife, those mothers in your life. May they be blessed for the examples that they have been to us. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the mothers that have been examples to us. We are so grateful that you brought them into our lives. We didn't pick them, Lord. You picked them. And you picked the right ones for each of us. And while there are some out there that are not great examples, we know that the ones that you have picked for us have been for a purpose. And we're thankful for that purpose. We're thankful for the example that Paul and Timothy have been to us, that we might walk worthy because Christ was an example to them. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.